Welcome to PS Weekly, the sound of the New York City school system. PS Weekly is a collaboration between Chalkbeat New York and The Bell. I'm your host this week, Marcelino Maleka. I'm a junior at Francis Lewis High School in Queens. On today's episode, the college admissions frenzy, plus a new program that's putting high schoolers to work, literally. But first, a Chalkbeat News Bulletin.
I'm Mike Elson-Rooney, a reporter from Chalkbeat. Here's a recap of the week's biggest education stories. On May 8th, New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks will testify at a U.S. House hearing on anti-Semitism. The committee overseeing the hearing is the same one that conducted the high-profile hearings last year with the presidents of Harvard, Penn, and MIT. Some school communities are pushing back on a mandated reading curriculum for elementary schools set to expand citywide next school year. They're worried that the changes threaten the things that make their schools unique, like teacher-centered lessons. Meanwhile, the city is gearing up to overhaul curriculums for other grades and subjects. And New York City teens have launched a youth civic hub. The new online portal aims to increase youth civic engagement and electoral participation. The platform is led by the nonprofit YVote and includes voter registration tools, internship opportunities, and more. You can find it at youthciviccub.org. To stay up to date on local education news throughout the week, go to chalkbeat.org/newsletters and sign up for the New York Daily Roundup.
This spring, seniors have been anxiously awaiting letters in their mail or email. Letters that will shape the next 4 years of their lives and beyond.
Okay, I just rolled out of bed. I'm about to check my decision. I'm shaking so much.
And I'm gonna be checking my Columbia decision. I don't know if I'll get in, but it'll be fine.
This annual spring ritual is characterized by stress. And this year is even more stressful than usual.
This is the time of the year when many high school seniors choose their college, but millions are in limbo, still waiting to hear how much financial aid they can expect.
A landmark ruling from a deeply divided Supreme Court, striking down affirmative action.
Yale University tonight is the latest school reversing course, now requiring standardized test scores for college admissions.
The changes and challenges in college admissions have led to an especially stressful spring for many high school seniors. We're also seeing new ways that the school system is trying to connect students to careers, sometimes instead of college.
We're going to create career pathways where every young person that goes through our schools is going to be guaranteed that they're going to have the skills to go to college, to get a good job.
Chancellor David Banks has been steering the school system to focus more and more on introducing students to the workforce well before graduation. So with all of these changes in college admissions and a school system that's talking more about careers than college, we wanted to know, how are high schoolers dealing with the age-old question? What's next? Today, you'll hear from two seniors. One who's putting the earn and learn through a new career-focused program, and another took the college application game to a new level. With our first story, here's PS Weekly producer, Christian Rojas Linares.
Good morning. It is currently 7:17 a.m. I am picking out my outfit of the day and decided to go with my favorite gray flared pants.
This is Heidi Torres, a high school junior at the Brooklyn Academy of Global Finance.
I would get to school, go through daily school routine, my classes, and I would leave at 12:10 on the dot, and then I would take the train. And from there, I would get to Bloomberg around 1 o'clock.
Bloomberg, the global financial and media giant headquartered in Midtown Manhattan.
Hello, it is currently 1:24. I am with my fellow apprentice, Kayla.
Hi, guys.
We are going to start work at exactly 1:30, which we will be taking on tickets and working with their issues.
4 afternoons a week, Heidi switches outfits from student to employee and works on Bloomberg's internal help desk. Here's how she explains her job.
I am in charge of basically troubleshooting issues that employees have virtually. I don't show up to their desk. I don't troubleshoot myself, but virtually you would help with like installs for that employee, or you would help them with like, oh, my PC isn't working, and you would like transfer that ticket to somebody who would actually go over there and help them with that issue.
I ask her the important question. How much does she get paid?
Currently, I get paid $17 an hour.
So, you're probably wondering, how is a high school student working at Bloomberg? The short answer is through an apprenticeship program her school offers.
At first, I was skeptical. I wasn't really into it. It was like taking a leap of faith, basically, and getting to be comfortable and knowing that you're gonna have to do some things that are out of your comfort zone, but then at the end, it's gonna be good for you.
Heidi is one of hundreds of students citywide participating in the Career Readiness and Modern Youth Apprenticeship. It's run by a nonprofit organization called CareerWise New York that partners with dozens of New York City public schools.
CareerWise was founded in 2019 based off of an organization called CareerWise Colorado.
This is Noelle Parrish, Vice President of K-12 Partnerships at CareerWise.
We wanted to get this started in New York because I personally had students who I know could be successful and wanted to be successful, but who also just wanted a job right out of high school. Sometimes they wanted to do some college, sometimes they just wanted to work a little bit and then go back to college, and there really weren't many options. So we started CareerWise with the goal of just creating an options multiplier for young people where they could take multiple pathways to a successful career.
What are the main misconceptions people have about apprenticeships?
I think a big one is often the apprenticeship is confused with an internship. So the apprenticeship has required instruction that you have to do. It has on-the-job training that has to be delivered by a mentor. It has a certification that you have to earn at the end of the apprenticeship. And then students can often get college credit for it. They're also paid opportunities. You're part of the company. You're a real employee. And so you're able to say, you know, I have worked at Amazon for 3 years by age 19. So I think that's one of the misconceptions.
And there's another big one.
It's an alternative to college. Sometimes the apprenticeship can be an alternative to college. It can also be part of your journey in college. And sometimes the two are combined. Like in healthcare, you have to go to college to become a nurse. And so that's part of the pathway. Other occupations like a project coordinator, that doesn't require a college degree. And so you can do that with just apprentice training. There's also certifications you can get, especially in the technology field, that allow you to do certain jobs without a degree. And so it creates so many options.
CareerWise is a key partner in the NYC school system shift from the previous administration's College for All initiative to a focus on what they call career pathways, kind of like routes to professions that students can explore.
Our main ones are in technology, business, finance, and then we launched healthcare last year. And so within each of those pathways are different occupations, which are very specific jobs, things like a junior coder, junior graphic designer. We have a pre-nursing program, a radiology program, project coordinator, marketing, human resources. I think we have about 28 different occupations that students can choose from.
How many students are participating in the apprenticeship program?
We work with about 70 high schools. 58 of them are part of the Career Readiness and Modern Youth Apprenticeship initiative that the DOE is currently running. There's curriculum for 9th and 10th graders, so we have, you know, thousands of students taking that. But then in terms of apprenticeships, we've had over 650 students participate in a modern youth apprenticeship over the last 5 years.
CareerWise has high hopes to expand its apprenticeship program and offer it to other schools on a wait list. That will partially rely on having enough employer partners. The New York City Department of Education has said they want to provide 3,000 apprenticeships over 3 years. It's an ambitious goal, though the program would still reach less than 1% of the city's public high school students. I ask Noelle how CareerWise evaluates success.
The outcome that I'm most proud of is that it is truly an options multiplier. So we have a large percentage of young people who do decide to go on to college right after the program. We think that's great. We've had a student who got accepted to, I think it was Yale, and he deferred his start of Yale for a year because he wanted to finish his apprenticeship at Amazon. And we've had students who have gotten a job at 19, no college debt, as a coder, making like $109,000 a year. We have students who get hired as project coordinators. That is the successful outcome of the program.
So what is Heidi planning on doing after high school? Is she planning on going to college?
Yes, I do plan, but it's going to be out of state. I don't want to stay in here. I want to really explore, and I want to see what there is.
What do you plan on studying?
I plan on studying forensic science. I love anything mysterious, any true crime. But I would say I would go back to Bloomberg if being a forensic scientist doesn't work out, because they have so many other communities that I don't know of yet, and I would love to be more into production side of it, too.
Would you recommend the Modern Youth Apprenticeship to someone who is undecided about their future?
I would say go for it, but you have to really stay committed to it. Like, it's going to take you a leap of faith. It's going to feel weird because it's new. But then you're going to feel glad you did it, because besides the fact that you're earning money, you also know that, oh, I want to do this, or, oh, I don't want to do this. It gives you a new perspective.
Hello, it is currently 3:30 and I am about to enter my end of the day meeting with my team. This is where we just talk about any tickets that we need help with. So after that, I'm just going to finish up some of the tickets and like saving it for next week. And then that's the end of the day.
The theme I heard from both Heidi and Noelle: options. The program is designed to give students more options. A toolbox full of jobs to try out and see if you like. And the goal is that if you do decide to go to college, you'll have a better sense of why. Cooking it up for PS Weekly, I'm Christian Rojas Linares.
Thanks, Christian. Next up, producer Tanvir Kaur and I work together on a story about a high school senior who knows his way around the college application process. After this quick break.
We hope you're enjoying listening to PS Weekly as much as we enjoy making it. We spend a lot of time after school planning each episode, setting up and conducting interviews, cutting the tape, writing scripts. It's a long process and totally worth it. But here's the thing. We don't have a bunch of money or millions of followers, so we're counting on you, loyal listener, to help us get the word out. So take a few seconds and send this link, wherever you're listening, to three friends, so they too can enjoy PS Weekly. Thanks for your support.
I gotta think about this. I always forget what I had for breakfast. Oh, yeah, this morning I had a croissant from my deli, and I went straight to school.
A few weeks ago, our host Marcelino spoke with Alex Calafura, a senior at Eastside Community High School in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. We wanted to talk to Alex because he wrote an article for Chalkbeat about how he applied to 23 colleges.
So, why did you apply to so many schools?
I did it because I'm crazy. But actually, I did it because I really wanted to get the best shot possible at all of these amazing schools, and I'm really passionate about learning, and I believe there's so many different colleges across the country, and I could see myself fitting in at so many of them.
But still, 23?
Okay, so there's this thing going around the internet for a while now. It's called the shotgunning method.
And then there's another strategy, what I like to call the shotgun strategy. This is the one where you apply to many schools, right? Like 15 or 20 schools, sometimes even more than
you don't really have any insight into what admissions committees at these schools are looking for, so you kind of just shoot your shot at as many schools as possible. You should hope that one specific school has a need for someone with your application.
Okay, so I have to admit, I also applied to a lot of schools, 26 of them. I didn't know what shotgunning was, but that's what many seniors are doing. As a first-generation student applying to college, I was anxious. I felt like by getting into a good university, my parents' sacrifices would be worth it. But applying to a lot of schools is not easy. How did Alex keep track of everything?
Stay organized, because if you're disorganized, everything's going to fall apart really quickly. For me, I found that staying organized meant making spreadsheets, having documents with my essays, and just having a to-do list and making sure I was on track.
Alex had support throughout the application process from his school's counselors. His school offered SAT prep, financial aid seminars, and helped seniors with other tasks. But ultimately, writing the 50, yes, 50 essays came down to him alone, tapping away at his laptop at the Seward Park Public Library, spending hundreds of hours in total.
Knocking out one essay after the other, and then somewhere halfway through, you kind of just have this realization that, what if this is all for nothing? Like, what if I'm sitting here writing these essays and nothing comes out of it? So those are tough times, and I think they kind of make you lose motivation a little bit.
This is a reality for many seniors. While I was applying, I also wondered, what if it was all for nothing? What if I had spent more time with my family and friends instead of spending days and nights working on college applications? But you can't fall into the rabbit hole of what ifs. A week or so after Marcelino spoke with Alex, he sent me a voice memo.
And this was my reaction last night, March 28th at 7 p.m., as I heard back from Yale.
Congratulations, Alex. Your hard work definitely paid off. As for me, I'm anxiously waiting for my FAFSA application to be processed. The process has been difficult, but it's important to remind yourself that your self-worth is not determined by acceptances or rejections. Admission officers are looking at papers, not people. They don't know your personality, that you're kind, or that you always brighten a room with your smile. College is not the only journey. It does not define who you are. There are many ways to achieve your definition of success. If you don't believe me, here's Emmy Award-winning audio producer Stephanie Fu in her recent Instagram reel.
I really wanted to go to Stanford. That was the plan. And I failed all of my classes and I graduated with a 2.9 GPA. So suffice it to say, I did not go to Stanford. Now I have one of these.
You can't see, but Stephanie picks up her Emmy Award.
And I also have this, which is a New York Times bestselling book. And I have worked at places like This American Life, and I've written for like the New York Times, and nobody ever really cared where I went to school. Who you are in high school and where you go to college do not define the rest of your life. You still have a lot of future ahead of you, and everything will be fine. I promise.
This is Tanveer Kaur reporting for PS Weekly.
If you are a high school senior, what was your experience applying to colleges? If you're not going to college, what is the alternative path you are taking, and what has that been like? Email psweekly@chalkbeat.org. That's our show for today. We're off next week for spring break, but we'll be back with a new episode on May 1st. You won't want to miss it. Our team sat down with Chancellor David Banks himself.
What is a fun fact that most people don't know about Chancellor Banks? I would say, watch this. I've never said this to anybody.
Until then,
class dismissed!
PS Weekly is a collaboration between The Bell and Chalkbeat, made possible by generous support from the Pinkerton Foundation, the Summerfield Foundation, FJC, and Hindenburg Systems. This episode was hosted by me, Marcelino Maleka. Producers for this episode were
Christian Rojas Linares
and
Tanveer Kaur,
with reporting help from Chalkbeat reporter
Alex Zimmerman.
Our marketing lead this week was
Salma Baksh.
Our executive producer for the show is
Joanne DeLuna.
Executive editors are
Amy Zimmer
and
Taylor McGraw.
Additional production and reporting support was provided by
Sabrina DuKenny,
Mira Gordon,
and our friends at Chalkbeat. Special thanks to our interns,
Miriam Galicia
and
McKenna Turner.
And also, thanks to our amazing team of volunteer mentors. Music from Blue Dot Sessions. And the jingle you heard at the beginning of this episode was created by the one and only
Erica Wong.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.